This talk is from GreatCatholicHomilies.com. The homilist is Father Anthony Brenken of the Archdiocese of Chicago.
Now, today, of course, is the Feast of Christ the King. In the old Mass, which we celebrate at 9:30, that Feast of Christ the King was actually in the last Sunday of October. And on that last Sunday of October, when they celebrated Christ the King, it's kind of interesting that the Protestants celebrated Reformation Sunday. Now, to show you at what low ebb the church was when I went to the seminary in the 60s and in the 70s, everything was kind of a low ebb then. This is the era of the spirit of Vatican II. But our seminary, at least one year, instead of celebrating the Feast of Christ the King, our Catholic seminary celebrated Reformation Sunday. How incredible. Actually, the disaster called the Reformation, the huge, seemingly irreparable break in the body of Christ, where you've got all these churches now, started by Martin Luther and John Calvin, and a whole host of other reformers, all of whom were Catholic, most of whom were former priests. This is the Reform movement that eliminated six of the seven sacraments, demoted Mary to Jesus' wet nurse. The revolution that overthrew the Pope and told us we didn't even have to be good in order to get to heaven. The religious fervor that now allowed the Protestant monarchs to shut down Catholic churches, Catholic monasteries, hunt down her priests and arrest the Catholic people and put them in prison. How amazing that this was now being celebrated in at least one seminary of Mother Church, my seminary, by the great-great-great-great-great-great-grandsons of all those persecuted Catholics. Maybe our masters back in the 60s were telling us that the old religion, which they didn't believe in anyway, was over and done with. And in fact, that the old days and the old ways were finished. And we as modern Catholic seminarians needed to get on with the modern project, of which the Reformation was the herald. And what was the modern project? What did Martin Luther and John Calvin and Zwingli mean by the Reformation? Nothing less than the complete exaltation of man. The universe, life, religion, all of it was about us. Our nations, our governments, our investments, our achievements, our successes. And that would eventually mean the complete taking over of every aspect of our life by the philosophers and the bureaucrats and the politicians and the bankers. In other words, after the Reformation, that was about 500 years ago, the world decided it was going to revolve around man and not Christ and not the teachings of the church. And that's exactly what happened all over Europe. All the king's buddies, the money men, the financiers, the petty nobles who had no more religion than their dogs, became reformers. And it wasn't for religion for them, because when they became reformers, they were allowed now to confiscate all the monasteries, all the convents, all the universities, all the churches, and burn them down or steal everything that was in them. They ransacked the cemeteries, scattered countless bones of countless saints. We celebrated the other day the feast of St. Elizabeth of Hungary. She was so holy, I often think that she was kind of like the reverse model of Cinderella. And I'll tell you about that some other time. But she was so holy, within about 10 years after her death, everybody was praying in her grave. Well, the reformers came in, they tore down the church, scattered her bones, threw them into the forest. Nobody even knows where she's buried anymore. And they sent the monks and the nuns packing so that they could possess the land and all the riches and grow more rich and powerful than they ever were before. Now, the monks and the nuns were not the only ones, because eventually the farmers and all of their families, they were kicked off of their lands, and they ended up wandering around in the big cities, and for the first time in 1,000 years, there was widespread poverty in the cities of Europe. Oh, the government wasn't poor. The friends of the government weren't poor. They're never poor. But everyone else was. It happened in Ireland. The rich reformers came in from England and Scotland and came into Northern Ireland. That's where my family came from. And they took the land of the Catholics, and they said to them, if you remain Catholic, then you stay. Now, if you remain Catholic, And you can go to the west of Ireland, or you can go to hell. That's exactly what they said. But this land is not yours any longer, so you might as well leave. And that happened all over Europe. Within another 100 years, they invented the steam engine, and the Industrial Revolution was underway, and now the people, our ancestors, they were shoved into tenements and shacks and rooms to let, and everyone, women, children, the elderly, were forced to work in the factories and the mills of the grandsons of the reformers for pennies an hour and 14, 16 hours a week, a day. I mentioned this once before, but my grandfather, who was born in 1860 in Belfast, he was 6 years old, and he was 6 years old working in a linen mill in Belfast for the great-grandsons of the reforming robber barons. He was just 6 years old, a little slave to the industrialist. He was winding bobbins in the linen mill so that the rest of his family, who were also working, could survive. Now you might say, now wait, what has all this got to do with the Feast of Christ the King? Because this is what happened, at least historically, when the Reformation dethroned Christ and his church and removed the church from any position of influence in the public life of the people. Because if Christ is not our king, and if the teachings of the church are ignored and ridiculed by those who rule, then there is no one who can stand in front of the rich and the powerful and the cool people and say to them, no, you may not do that. You may not abuse families. You may not abuse people. You may not abuse children. For Christ himself says no, and the authority of the church proves it. Now that's not just history. This is the world in which we still live. Our modern world, and the active principle is this, where Jesus is no longer king, and the church is no longer allowed to teach, someone else will come in, they will be king, and they will teach, and always to their advantage, and always to the detriment of the people whom they rule. When Christ is not king, and Christ has not been our king for a long time now, and when the church's teachings are not heeded, then it's going to be the politician and the media and the celebrities and the merchants and the bankers who will tell us right from wrong, true from false, good from bad. How else were we as a whole society persuaded that the killing of little babies in the womb was somehow an inalienable right found in the Constitution? Or that gay marriage, inconceivable for 30,000 years, has now been to be accepted by law and defended by us, because that's a nice thing to do. How else did we get to the point in our society where 40% of our children are born to mothers who aren't even married, and nobody even cares, not even the fathers who don't marry the mothers? Who persuaded them that all this was good, or that it didn't matter? Who said, oh, don't worry, our way is more fun than the church's way, our way is more fun than Christ's way? And then they proceeded to bombard our homes and our families with zombie apocalypse and vampires in love and internet pornography and dirty music and dirty fashions. This is social control by other means. So that oh so subtly but surely they tell us that what we should value. They tell us what we should value so that we will give them first our souls and then our money. When Christ and the church have been thrown out of public life, and the process began with the Reformation, then little by little we start to give our lives over to the power people, to the politicians, to the money men. When Christ is not king, and we're not following the teachings of the church, well, that's when our families get poorer. And they get crippled by divorce and abortion and birth control. When Christ is not king, that's when we end up with homes where everyone is fighting. Mothers and daughters, fathers and sons, wives and husbands. When some poor modern family is spinning out of control, its son's in the lockup and its daughter's pregnant, they're actually in a certain sense not to blame, really. Because all they've heard all their lives, 24/7, were the seductions and the persuasions of the buyers and the sellers, the merchants and the bankers, the real estaters, the politicians and the media, with their message of greed and pleasure and consumption. Wherever or whenever Christ is not king, our families suffer. And they do, and horribly so. They suffer emotionally, they suffer physically, they suffer spiritually, and they suffer materially. And then they try to suffer the followers of Christ the King. We're only trying to rescue the people. How many times have many priests received an anonymous letter saying we should stop talking about life and love and about abortion and birth control and marriage and divorce? I should stop mixing politics and religion and what? Leave the teaching of morality to the politicians? To the Sun Times? God forbid. Who places where we are right now? So troubled and worried that we're on the verge of total social ruin. Who brought us to this dance of perpetual war, monumental real estate swindles, and family collapse? No one else but those for whom Christ is not king. A long line of anonymous ciphers, like Barack Obama, George Bush, and yes, even Lyndon Johnson and Ronald Reagan. I'll blame them all, and all their masters, and all their handlers, and all their donors. Who are they, really? Any of them, Republican or Democrat. And they, with the media and all their rich buddies, will tell us that it is right, and they'll tell us what is just, and they'll tell us what is important, and how we should live, and how we should love, and how we should have our families. Well, I won't. I will listen to the church. I will follow Christ Jesus. Because as for me and my family, and you are my family, we will serve the Lord, for Christ alone is King. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Hear more talks like these at greatcatholichomilies.com.